the author of Speaking for Myself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives Inside the Trump White House, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Sarah, nice to have you on What's on Your Mind. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Your book is fantastic. It really is. I've read a lot of books, interviewed a lot of authors over the years, and I just love the way you weave the stories of your time in the White House with the stories about your dad. That was a priceless story about that tornado that hit the mansion in Arkansas, and I also laughed a lot about your Christmas trip to Iraq, and you just had a lot of really neat stories in there. So thank you very much for writing just a fun book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you reading it. I wanted to write a book that everybody can enjoy, not just something for political junkies. I wanted people to see certainly a different side of me, but more importantly, a different side of the president. I wanted them to get to know the person that I saw for 2.5 years every single day fighting for this country and pushing back against the liberal mob and standing up for what's right. Instead of all of the negative books that are written about this president, I wanted a real insider's account of what it was like and how he treated those of us that worked for him.
Yeah, and I really, really hope that that can be a part of the conversation now till November, because the persona of Donald J. Trump through the lens of fake news and the haters is so different than the stories you hear from yourself and others as well, people I know that know him well. Why is that? Why, I mean, is it just because he's not a typical politician, they just don't understand him, so they're going to be as critical as they are? Why do you think he is portrayed the way he is?
I certainly think that some of it is because he's not your typical politician. I think that's why some of the people that support him love him, is because they wanted something different. They were sick and tired of business as usual, tired of Washington operating at the status quo. They wanted somebody to come in and shake things up and be a complete disruptor in Washington. That's exactly what he's done. I think that's one of the reasons he's been able to get so much done in just 4 years, is because he hasn't played by the same old rule book that everybody else has used for so long. And I think if he stays focused on his message and his record of accomplishment over the last 4 years, he's going to do extremely well in November.
Is that a constant conversation with the president? We say stay focused on the message and your record. In other words, don't veer off into something that wouldn't be the message of the day that the media is going to absolutely love. Is that a constant wrestling match for the president himself and those that that work for him?
Well, I think that's for everybody, is trying to stay disciplined on a message. It's difficult at times when you're under just an absolute and consistently being attacked in the way that this president is. No president in history has ever been berated in the way that Donald Trump has been, but he keeps fighting back, keeps getting up every single day. Most people would, I think, be in the fetal position in the corner if they had to go through what he went through every day. But instead, he gets stronger every day, pushes back even more, and keeps winning.
You know, I gathered that his decision to have you not do briefings just because he was disgusted with the media and their treatment of you was a very kind thing on his part, because he'd say that. I mean, look at how they treated Sarah. This is awful. Yet I always got the impression that you were fine with it. You're happy to take him on and seeing that role. But talk a little bit about the president's concern over how the media was treating you.
One of the things that he hated was how disrespectful they were in that room and at other times, and he felt like it stopped being productive, that the reporters were so focused on becoming the story instead of reporting the story and trying to have these gotcha moments and these viral moments so that they could be somebody, instead of focusing on actually getting the information out to the American people. He thought they were disrespectful and rude, and decided that we could get our message out in better ways. And that's one of the things I think that is so refreshing about this president, is he is so accessible. He takes more questions from the press than any president in modern history. And whether it's the press briefing room, the White House lawn, or the Oval Office, he is constantly engaging and getting his message out to the American people. He does that through Twitter and speeches and other things. And I find it very refreshing. People don't always like his style, but it's hard to argue with the fact of his substance and what he's been able to deliver on, and the fact you always know where he is on any given topic at any given time.
those reporters incense me, honestly, because it doesn't seem like journalism. You know, I mean, it's vicious. Is it a matter of job survival, you know, and trying to, you know, get higher up the ladder, the snarkier you can be? And if somebody actually, you know, believes the president is telling the truth about with a particular answer, whatever, that it would be a, you know, career death to actually, you know, acknowledge that. What is the deal with them anyway?
I think for some of them, that's certainly they want, you know, to be somebody. They want speaking gigs, book deals, and they want more TV time and a bigger following on social media. And so certainly I think a big part of it is them building a bigger profile. If they have a moment where they get into an argument with the press secretary or even better with the president of the United States, they feel like that's something they can cash in on. That's certainly not every reporter, but there are a handful that I think they go into that room or into any engagement hoping for that moment every single day.
But, of course, those of us in forgotten America that Donald Trump honors every single day with his leadership think very, very differently. A texter says, please tell her that it warmed my heart that she got a standing O at the Black Hills. She deserves that for the abuse she took on our behalf. My wife and I were there as well at Mount Rushmore, which was just an incredible event. I mean, everybody should go back and listen to the president's speech and soak in that whole moment. But the texter is right. You got a standing O. That had to feel pretty good.
It was pretty incredible, certainly better than walking into the briefing room. I never got much welcome there, so it was really nice, and I loved that event. I thought it was truly spectacular. And I have to say, after we left South Dakota, my family and I actually went to North Dakota and spent some time in Medora. What a beautiful area. My first time ever in North Dakota, and we were just absolutely blown away by how beautiful it was, the town, the people, everything was just incredible. So we had a great time and a great trip there as well.
That's awesome. In fact, today they are picking the architect out of the final three to build the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library that will be in Medora. So you'll have to come back for that.
Absolutely. I'd love to. It's a really neat town, and we went to the show and did the entire thing, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. So glad you did that. That's an iconic North Dakota event for sure. That's sort of our Black Hills, but it's a lot of fun. So tell me what you think would be an example of a story that people listening that support the president, rooting for the president, pray for the president, but don't really get a chance to see. What would be an example of a story that would best tell the story of Donald Trump to them?
Yeah, I think one of the moments that stuck out for me and I write about in the book is how much the president empowered me. In one particular occasion, I'd had a pretty difficult week. An L.A. Times reporter had attacked me about my appearance, and it just hadn't been my favorite week. And so we were in Japan. We're walking into a bilateral meeting with the prime minister. The president has so many more important things that need to be top of mind for him. And just before we walk into the meeting, he stops me, looks me directly in the eye, and he says, Sarah, you're smart, you're beautiful, and the only reason they attack you is because you're good at your job. And then he kind of slaps me on my shoulder and he says, okay, now let's get back to work. Don't let those people get you down. And in that moment, Donald Trump was the one who encouraged me. He saw I was down. He was the one that gave me confidence to keep fighting, to step back up to the podium every day, because he defended us. He went out and fought on our behalf. And that's what he's doing for every American every single day. And it was moments like that I want the rest of the country to be able to see and know about and know who this president is.
Do me a favor, shut the fake news off, folks. Buy Speaking for Yourself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives inside the Trump White House. We all know it's the fight of our lives, but you hear the stories from someone there rather than the filters that are out there, you'll think a lot differently. Sarah, God bless you, and we'll talk again soon. Take care.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Great stories about her dad and his rise from lieutenant governor to governor and Fox News, and there's just a lot of really good stories in the book. There really is. It's a lot of fun, so check it out.